Water is so important. It is the best. Did you know that water makes up 2/3 of your body weight? Someone said that our brains are 85% water and your blood is 82% water. So apparently, if you're not drinking enough water, you're actually really restricting your health and possibly shortening your life. You've probably experienced it yourself. A lack of water at times can make you feel absolutely tired. Your memory isn't working. Apparently, it even can affect eyesight. It helps make sure our joints are working okay, that our muscles are strong. It affects, especially in sport, physical performance. So you see, it's very important to drink adequate water. And if you're drinking tap water, that doesn't count. But if you're drinking tap water, it's about 600 times cheaper than Coke. And a lot better for you. But the reality is, so often we want something else, don't we? We're told that Heineken beer refreshes the parts that other things can't reach. We're told Coke is the real thing. And then there is that smell of coffee. But these things really, Heineken, Coke, beer, coffee, don't really quench your thirst. Don't really hydrate you in the same way. And advertisers, but they know that there's things in us, though, that we want this other stuff. And it appeals to our nature. But our nature isn't just that we want other stuff, talking about drinks. We just want all kinds of stuff generally. Often the word, you know, they think of a thirst, you can kind of relate it or equate it to a desire. And we all have a thirst. We all have a desire for something. Some of us have various desires and diverse desires. We all want something. We're all looking for something. And here we see meeting Jesus. I don't know if you can read that. Find what you've been looking for. Find what you've been looking for. What is it that you are looking for? Maybe you've been looking for stuff, thinking this will satisfy, this will meet those needs that you have deep down inside, and you've discovered actually they don't. I've a friend who works in advertising, and he always wanted to work in advertising. That was his dream job. And when he got the job, he was thinking, "Is this it? I've reached the place where I want to be." And he was like, "I didn't feel that I was where I wanted to be. I still haven't found what I'd looking for." So then he wanted to be the most successful and wanted to get the best advert out there and even win an award for it. And he did that. And he did that. And he won this award. And he got the award. And he was like, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And maybe that's your experience too, whether you've been seeking success or wanting to be more attractive or looking for fun, looking for pleasure, looking for comfort, looking for money, looking for love. Maybe you still feel that you haven't found what you're looking for. Bob Geldof is a famous musician, and he raised loads of money for charity as well, and he did loads of stuff, and he's pretty rich as well. He's done well in business. And his biography is called Is That It? Is That It? You know, he's done this, he's done that, he's tried that, he's tried that, and then his biography just says, Is That It? One of my favourite groups is U2, and they sang a very famous song, I'm sure you've heard of it, called I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And in that song, he talks about trying this and doing that and looking here and looking there. He even talks about this great relationship that he has, and then he still says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's hard to be satisfied. It's hard to be full up. It's hard to have our thirst completely quenched. And I think this lady in John 4 we read about is like this. She's someone who has been searching, who's been looking for satisfaction, for fulfillment. But even her looking and not finding has left her deeply disappointed and potentially also deeply hurt. And so what does Jesus do? We're doing a series called Meeting Jesus. What does Jesus do? Well, he goes to her. Jesus goes to her. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, you'll see in verse 4, he goes out of his way to her. Jesus goes out of his way. It says in verse 4, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, many people have puzzled over this phrase in the Bible saying he had to go through Samaria, because he didn't. And most Jews wouldn't have gone through Samaria. You notice there in the reading that it says Jews and Samaritans hated each other. You know, a Jew would avoid Samaria like the plague. He just wouldn't go there unless he really, really had to. And Jesus didn't have to. There was other ways of getting to where Jesus wanted to go other than going through Samaria. And so this has puzzled people. Why does it say that Jesus had to go? Well, the reason he had to go is because he had to do what God has always been doing, reaching out to people, seeking people out. It's the character of God. It's what God does. Throughout the whole Bible, you see that God is on a mission to reach out to people in need, and he seeks people out. He goes to them. And Jesus explains in this passage, actually, John 4 in verse 34, what he's doing. He says, my food, that's what we need to live, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me, the will of God. So his mission, his purpose in going is to fulfill the will of God the Father, who has always been reaching out. And he goes out of his way to meet with this lady. It's a picture, actually. This passage is a picture of what God has done in Jesus Christ. He's gone out of his way to make it possible for us to know him and meet with him. Jesus, the Son of God, has left the glory of heaven, a perfect place where he was the Lord of all. And, you know, every day the angels are bowing down to him saying, you're worthy. And he's gone out of his way, coming to this earth, even being born as a baby, and having to, you know, like babies do, be looked after, be completely dependent on his mother, and live in this world with all its problems and pain, and even die on the cross for us. So Jesus illustrates here what he does. He goes out of his way to meet people in need. And when we meet Jesus, when we see Jesus, we see God. You see, Jesus is God. 1 John says, an earlier chapter says, Jesus is the glory. He's the representation. In him, you see God. And so if we want to meet with God, then we need to meet Jesus. And Jesus has come to us. People talk about finding God. You heard that phrase, I'm looking for God, or finding God. Well, God has come. God has come to find us. And we can find God in Jesus. And Jesus goes out of his way to meet people. Jesus goes out of his way to bring good news and meet the needs. We've had some guys here from Florida. Florida. That's quite a long way away. They have seriously gone out of their way to come to Abbey Wood and London and Woolwich. They've been all over the place to tell people about Jesus, that they can know Jesus. They have left, someone was praying this morning in the prayer meeting, they've left the comfort of big houses and big roads, not narrow gaps that you have to get to park. They've come and they've gone out of their way. And that's what God has been doing throughout history, and that's what he's doing here. Geographically, he doesn't have to go to Samaria and he doesn't have to go to this woman. But that's the will of God, to meet people in their needs. Culturally also, he's going out of his way, because it's already said in that passage that Samaritans and Jews, they clashed, they hated each other. It wasn't the done thing to even talk to Samaritans, never mind what Jesus is about to do. And what he is about to do is go to this woman at the place, the actual place, that place where that well is, of her greatest need. Yes, illustrated by that need to drink, thirst, but actually the place where she probably felt most her need. You'll notice there that she goes at the sixth hour. That was basically the heat of day. The hottest part of the day is when she goes to draw water. Why does she do that? Well, possibly and probably because she's experienced in that town a lot of rejection. A lot of people won't accept her because of her lifestyle and the way she lives. And so Jesus goes to her right at that point and in that place. And he goes to her not because, you know, Samaria and meeting this woman could be a good sort of business project or something like that, an opportunity to sell stuff. No, he literally goes, and that's the second point, to give. And that's what people do when they go, don't they? When people go to someone, it's not such a big tradition. It used to be, maybe it is in other cultures. When you go to someone's house or you go to visit someone, when you go to meet with someone, it's normal, it used to be anyway, a tradition was to bring something, bring a gift. And what does Jesus bring? Well, verses 10 and 13 tell us that Jesus brings the offer of eternal life, living water. Wow, beat that. How about that for a gift? That's what he brings to this lady. That's what he offers this lady. Eternal life. But before that, I want us to see that he offers her something else as well. He offers her something initially because he meets her where she's most needy. She may be not thinking so much about eternal life because she's got another need which is really weighing her down. And it's a problem. I mean, if we're going to go to someone and tell them that they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, but they're dying of thirst, then the most important thing we need to do initially is give them a glass of water. If someone's really, really hurting, maybe what they need is a hug. Maybe if someone's completely worn out, maybe they need someone to take the kids for a few hours and look after them before they'll be able to even get their head around other things like eternal life and living water. Everyone has different needs. As you listen to the story that Victor and Helena read, what do you think her need is? What do you think her need was? I guess it's not as obvious as so many other people that Jesus met. We have all these stories in the Bible of Jesus meeting these people who couldn't see, who were blind, who were lame, even some who were possessed by evil spirits. She isn't physically blind or lame or diseased or overwhelmed in that way. But looking at verses 6 to 7, like I say, the fact that she's drawing water at such a time of day when no one else is there, everyone else is tucked away, everyone else is in the shade, she's surely drawing that water at that time to avoid people because she feels outcast, rejected, despised by others in that town. Even if she wasn't treated badly, maybe she fears that rejection. Maybe she feels ashamed. And that rejection or fear of it would cause her to not be there. Why would she have this sense of shame? Well, it tells us in verse 18, Jesus knew this. She'd already had five husbands. She was now living with a man who wasn't her husband. And in a culture like that, that wasn't the norm. That wasn't normal. That wasn't, people who would be like that situation would be stigmatized, judged, rejected, and she would feel shame. And so she'd be avoiding people. Yet at the same time, what do you think it is that she longed for? She may be experiencing lots of rejection, but what is it that she'd want? Well, I imagine it's acceptance. I imagine her need is acceptance, her being accepted and loved for who she is. And Jesus brings that. That's the gift initially he brings. He offers her eternal life, and that's the gift she's going to get. But initially he does that. He gives her acceptance. And that's part of what Jesus is offering when he says eternal life. He's talking about life with him forever. Friendship, love. It starts with Jesus sitting down at the well with her. He sits next to it. He sits down in the exact place where he knows she's going to be. And then he says, can you give me a drink? He asks her for a drink. And eating and drinking in this culture is significant. Again, in this culture, if you didn't approve of someone, you wouldn't eat and drink with them. So again, Jews and Samaritans, they wouldn't eat together. They wouldn't drink together. She makes a point of saying to him, this is weird. You're asking me for a drink. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you're a man, I'm a woman. Jesus asks her for a drink. He doesn't offer her a drink, he asks her for a drink. Her need is to be accepted. Her need is to be needed. Her need is to be loved for who she is. And Jesus accepts her as she is. He makes her feel approved, accepted, needed. And he involves her in helping him. And this shows genuine acceptance. And by doing this, she is now in that situation ready to listen and hear about eternal life. And that's ultimately what Jesus wants to give us. There may be all kinds of needs that we have. It might be a struggle for acceptance. It might be a struggle with addiction. It might be all sorts of different struggles. And yes, Jesus can meet our needs. But ultimately, the biggest need we have is for him to give us eternal life. We cannot gain eternal life. We cannot go to heaven by our own means. We need him to give it to us. And that's what he comes to do. He offers her eternal life. But I want you to note, and again, if you haven't got your Bibles, let me tell you, it says in verse 13 that this offer is, and it says it right there in black and white, everyone. Everyone. But the reality is none of us, okay, it's offered to everyone, but none of us can earn it. None of us deserve it. There isn't one person on this planet who deserves God's favor, God's friendship, God's love, for God to accept them into their family. And the story of this woman illustrates to us how it works. How does it work that God, this almighty God that we're to fear and tremble at his voice, actually wants us to be able to come to him as father and friend, even though we've done all kinds of things wrong? Well, this passage here is an example of what's involved, and it's the third point. Jesus forgives. This passage is an example to us that whatever we've done, whatever we've become, however badly we feel about ourselves, however badly we've treated other people, however badly treated we've been by others, Jesus accepts us, Jesus loves us, Jesus offers us a hand of friendship, both now and forevermore, because he has made it possible through forgiveness, throughout all that we've done wrong, being forgiven. Jesus, when he's talking to this woman, you know, she doesn't know that he already knows, but he reveals it a bit later on. Jesus knows all about her. He tells her, you know, you've had these five husbands, now you're with a man who's not your husband. He knows everything. In verse 29, later on, she says, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. And she's realized that he knew everything she ever did at the moment when he offered her eternal life. He offers with eternal life forgiveness. He knows the wrong before she knew that he knew that she has done, and he still offers her eternal life. And that's the same for us as well. He knows the wrong things we've done. He knows everything I've done. Nobody knows everything I've thought. Nobody knows everything I've done. God does. And yet he still, despite all the wrong that I've done, he accepts me, he offers me eternal life, and that's possible because of the forgiveness he offers. And of course, that forgiveness that he offers, even though it's a gift, he offers it, it's a gift, he gives it, it doesn't mean it didn't come at a cost. If you've had to forgive someone, I'm sure if it's been for something quite serious, it's been costly, it's been hard to forgive. But the word forgiveness has the word give in it, doesn't it? Forgive. It's only forgiveness if it is given, if it's actually a gift. And so forgiveness is just to be received as a gift. It's free. Free. But at the same time, it came at a great cost. We've already sung about the cost. The cost was the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ that forgiveness is possible. It's received. That's what the cross is all about, the symbol of the Christian faith. We have a cross there. The symbol of the Christian faith throughout 2,000 years across all the world is the cross. And why? Because that's where forgiveness is found. That's where eternal life can be received and found, as we meet Jesus at the cross, the place of his death for us, that we could be forgiven. So this experience that this woman experienced, receiving forgiveness, receiving the gift of eternal life because Jesus went to her, can also be the experience of people today, of each one of us today, as it said earlier, for everyone, simply by doing what? Well, in verse 42, the local people heard about what had happened to this woman, and at the end, it tells us this, the other people there, having heard about her story and heard about Jesus, they said, we know that this man really is the savior of the world. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is the one and the way. All we have to do is receive that Jesus' death was for us and that forgiveness is possible. So as verse 13 says, it's for everyone who drinks the water, as it were, who receives Jesus. That's a parallel for receiving Jesus, the living water, the only one who can satisfy, the only one who can meet our deepest need, the only one who can quench our greatest desires and thirsts. And so as we just come to a close, you know, how do you respond? How do you respond to that offer of living water, to that offer of Jesus' forgiveness and life eternal with him? In this story, there's a jar. The lady has a jar which she uses to draw water. And in it, she says, you know, I don't really want to keep coming to draw water. Now, obviously, she's talking about physical water, but actually, she's talking about spiritual water. She doesn't want to keep trying to find satisfaction in elsewhere. She's tired of disappointment. She's ready to receive what Jesus and only Jesus can do and fill her up completely and fulfill her completely. And it tells us there in verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give, they will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There can't be anything greater than that to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has made that way possible for us all. And we want to celebrate that in our final song. We're just going to sing one more song. That Jesus, through coming to this earth, has made a way, the cross, for each and every person, no matter what they've done, to receive his love and forgiveness, be accepted into his family, and know eternal life.